The first basilica of St. John Lateran dates from the year 324. It was at the time when Constantine was emperor and the church was beginning to experience a type of peace she had never known before. And what Constantine did was he gave a portion of a Roman palace to Pope Sylvester I, who was Pope from 314 to 335, and this became both the papal residence and the establishing of the first cathedral for the city of Rome. As I was reading the history of this basilica, I thought, okay, we might be having problems with our building project, but nothing like what was experienced there. Consider the following. Twice it was vandalized in the 10th century. It experienced an earthquake. And then after the Avignon papacy, when the papacy moved to France, when they came back, the place was in utter ruins. And the building that now is there dates from the 17th century. On the outside of the cathedral are these words: the mother and head of all the churches in this city and of the world. Although we do not know when the basilica was first dedicated in terms of the actual date, since the 12th century in the city of Rome, this date, the 9th of November, was used to mark the importance of this building. It was then, later on in the 17th century, that it became a universal celebration that we, the church throughout the world, would mark the 9th of November as the day when we celebrate this church that is dedicated to both St. John the Baptist and St. John the Evangelist. I have a series of pictures I want to now show you of this remarkable building. Perhaps some of you have had the opportunity to be there. This is the nave of St. John Lateran, and as you walk down the nave, on either side, there are statues of the 12 apostles. And so as you walk into the church, you have this understanding that it is built truly on the foundation of Jesus Christ, with the apostles being those from whom the church is then extended. In this next picture, we have a depiction of St. John the Evangelist. You can see the eagle there that represents the soaring nature of the Gospel of John. We then move to this next picture of St. Peter. You see the keys that he is holding in his hand, representing his office as the first pope. I first went to this building in 2014, and as you know, something significant to my conversion to Catholicism was the role of Peter. When I saw the cathedra for the first time, I was profoundly moved, because here is the chair of the Bishop of Rome. This is his cathedral church, and from this chair, he exercises his authority both as the Bishop of Rome and as the universal pontiff for the church throughout the world. And then lastly, this beautiful depiction of the papal altar. And indeed, today, Pope Francis will have celebrated Mass in his cathedral. And as we think about this remarkable building, we want to celebrate the fact that this church represents something for us. For you see, as Catholic Christians, we don't only understand that the church continues through time, but geography really matters for us. And many of you have been on pilgrimage to various places around the world where Catholics gather. Here, at this church, in a sense, it's not only the cathedral church for the city of Rome, but it is your cathedral and my cathedral too. Because just as the Pope is the first of the bishops, so too this church is the first church in the Roman Catholic world. I love how our readings today help us to join with an understanding of what it is to be Catholic Christians. In that reading from Ezekiel, there's this image of fresh water going from the south gate of the temple. And do you know where the Arabah is? The Arabah is the basin for the Dead Sea. Some of us have been there. And you know that nothing grows around the Dead Sea because the salt is so concentrated that nothing can grow. But in that reading, there's this beautiful image of the fresh water coming into the Dead Sea and it displacing the salt water with fresh water. And so on either side, there is this fecundity and richness of life. This is to be an image of who the church is called to be. The church is to be that community that brings the water of grace and is able to refresh and bring life to a dead world. But our gospel makes it all too clear that far too often both temple and church can become corrupt. And the very thing that we are called to be and called to do, we do not do. And when that happens, it has a profound effect, not only on the world, but on the heart of Jesus Christ, who says, whenever that occurs, we have to overturn those tables because the church needs to be renewed. It needs to be remade, refashioned, so that she can be the kind of people who, in the words of today's reading from the epistle, we recognize something fundamental. There is only one foundation of the church. He has a name. It is Jesus. And the wonderful thing for us to remember is, although we celebrate these amazing buildings, that's not what's most important. Because Jesus is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then by extension, says Paul, so are you and me. Have you ever thought about it? One day we're going to be more beautiful than this. One day we're going to be perfected. And one day we are going to be in heaven more beautiful than this. But as we continue in this world, we are to recognize the common priesthood that we have, the common priesthood of our baptism, where we are to build on the foundation that is Jesus Christ. And those like me who are called to the ministerial priesthood are called to equip you to your common priesthood so that you can be in the world like that fresh water, going forth from this place, bringing renewal, bringing hope, bringing new life. What a great day this is. Celebrate our Catholic identity. What a great day this is to celebrate this most beautiful cathedral that is our cathedral too.